We are gonna
Great.
revisit our topic from last week, which was try versus buy.
It's too good. We didn't go deep enough. I'm glad we're talking
We
about
did
this.
make it to 20 minutes though, so that was
Yes.
impressive. But the thing that I want to talk about this week is really around try versus buy,
Yeah.
and how simple consultants have made it to buy.
Yeah.
With showing very little impact, unless you're selling opium
Yeah.
by way of McKinsey, by way
Yeah.
of doctors, by way of nefarious practices.
Chris, I recently saw an article. God, I wish I would have flagged it. They were talking about the billions of dollars that Fortune 500 companies spend on things like digital transformation or, strategic reset. And all of these things, as a consulting industry, we're bringing in people with very low context that don't understand the complex mechanics, and they're creating beautiful PowerPoints, or they're introducing powerful dashboards of data that are superficial, right? Because the audience is this executive, and executives are rewarded for growing, right? The rewards, show me what somebody's rewarded for, I'll tell you where their attention goes.
Oh, 100%.
Consulting does a really powerful job of feeding that need to have something to present up. So talk to me about how there's something more in your mind. It struck me that this is such a recent piece, because it's literally a multi-billion dollar industry just talking about what could happen or should happen and not making it happen.
I think
That's really
it's
interesting.
really interesting. It's probably why I will never be an executive, because I want accuracy.
Yeah.
I want accuracy. I want results. I want people to, when they say that they predict something, I want their prediction to be validated, right? Like
Yeah.
I don't I like what's your confidence level?
Yeah.
I saw a meme on Instagram about, you ask ChatGPT to create a McKinsey slide deck and then analyze the words that McKinsey slide deck would get, and you end up with synergies and optimizations and all these big
Yeah.
words that sell really well. It's a really good story. And
Absolutely.
the side benefit is if McKinsey doesn't do well or Boston Consulting doesn't do well, it's not your problem.
Right.
It's like the
Yeah.
best way to it's like the best way to pass the buck.
It is. You can vilify them and then you can hire them into a different functional area tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you have a different team from the same
Correct.
well-educated organization.
Correct.
Yeah. No, it's, I think, this, the idea of the culture of buy versus try, I think some of that has to do with how long are we invested within this organization.
Oh yeah.
And so if I was making a 40-year commitment to a company, then I want to leave everything I touch at least a little bit better than I encountered it, because I'm going to reap the rewards multiple times, right? Investment, rule of 72. If I do a 10% improvement, then the value of that's going to double, in 7 years. And so as I move through an organization, leaving things better than I found them pays both me and all of my collaborators that I'm working with for the next 30 years. It pays us dividends. But if my career is 2 years, or if I'm measuring in quarterly increments, those try investments that take time, a series of experiments, a series of refinements, those don't happen in 90 days.
Well, the other interesting thing is I'm going to think about like new employees, right? So you hire a new employee, right? They're impressive. You've never heard their stories before.
Yeah.
You don't know their strengths or weaknesses. And so, and generally you get someone who's a competent professional. They will be very confident and kind and have some EQ, but it takes a while to understand the strengths, weaknesses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're all
Yeah.
humans trying to do our best, right?
Yeah,
And so
fair.
the best triers are going to be the people that know where to try.
Yeah.
And maybe it's as simple as if you're an executive, you don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So it's easy to start with synergies.
Transformation.
Impact.
More AI.
Impact. Yeah.
We need AI. More
leverage.
Yeah.
Scale.
It's interesting because what you described, and I think today's hiring process is pretty abrupt. And if I think about hiring a new resource, we have some screening.
Yep.
Maybe I have some technical acumen.
Yeah.
Kinds of interviews, maybe plural.
Yeah.
You know, I have some EQ cultural fit within that team.
Yep.
Not necessarily within the company's DNA, but usually just at a team level. But, you know, in general, I would dare say most hires happen within, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Unless there's HR reasons that it's slowed down.
Yep.
So you've essentially spent at least personally, a lot of my interviews, both as an employee, but also as a consultant, it may only be an hour or two of interview and I made an offer.
Yeah.
Or I'm asked for a proposal.
Yeah. And the funny thing is like that offer could be early in your career. It could be 50 grand. Later in your career, it could be 150 grand, it could be 300 grand.
Yeah. And basically all I'm being offered, I'm not being offered a career.
Yeah.
I'm being offered a paycheck.
Yeah.
I was talking with a friend today over lunch and she is a really brilliant chief HR leader. And I was saying to her earlier in my career, I was interviewing and I was offered a job as an actuary. I am not the kind of introvert or statistic table Nazi that would have been an awesome actuary. I would have been a distraction to everybody I worked with and an annoyance to leadership. I would have certainly been fired within the first year for not being what they needed.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's interesting was when they were asking me about what I wanted, what I didn't say but was 100% true is I want a paycheck.
Yeah, yeah.
I got bills to pay. Yeah. And you know, you're furthest along the process and I have an urgent need to cover my costs.
Yeah.
But as we get later in our career, hopefully we kind of discover who we are and what we're about. And so I was saying to her today, I have a paycheck.
Sure.
You know, I have a lot of learning as well. So I'm not looking for a paycheck. What I'm looking for is a purpose and I'm looking for a sense of fit.
Yep.
And I'm looking for value alignment. Is this an opportunity for me to show up and do something I'm really passionate about?
Yeah.
Or is it just a paycheck?
Yeah.
And I think in the spirit of the buy versus try, so many organizations today, it's a consumerism transaction when we're hiring.
Yeah.
Right? We're not asking, is this the kind of person that reflects our DNA? Do we have our values aligned?
Yeah.
Could they potentially become part of our leadership and contribute to our overall health?
Yeah.
Over the course of 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're thinking in that longer line. And it takes a long time to become a good trier.
Yeah.
And develop that deep knowledge of how an organization actually functions.
Well, you've talked about your time at Nike in kind of their heyday, in which they basically, it was part of their culture that they kicked people to other parts of the org. Like
it was mind-boggling.
It was 18-month stints, if I remember correctly, and they would go. Yeah. And they would learn this other thing. Like, imagine like the wealth of knowledge that you get.
Oh, it was remarkable.
By bringing other stuff, other things. Like, and I've thought about this a lot. Like, I would love to be a consultant if you could start me as basically a new hire and train me how to do something. Cause I guarantee you, 4 weeks in, I've got 25 different problems solved. I guarantee it.
Cause you have fresh eyes and experience.
Correct. Give me 4 weeks in any job. I will basically have all sorts of things for you to solve. Right. And that's a try.
Yeah.
Right. That's putting your boots on, putting your gloves on and going to work. Right. Whereas it feels like, you know, maybe I'm missing something here, but most consulting just feels like it's a flyby of what could be. And, you know, of the flavor of the month. And so a couple years ago, it was blockchain. You know, blockchain had zero value. So we created crypto. It's been great. You know, now it's Gen AI, right? What is Gen AI? That's define right. it. Good luck getting a good answer from many people. They will, or getting one flavor of an answer. And that, like, look, AI is nuanced. Like, an LLM will, it predicts the next word. And so if you can, if you understand that, you're going to be better off versus just thinking it's magical. You're like, no, it's just, it's a writing machine. That's pretty like, I'm not complaining.
No. Well, I think what's interesting is that, if we think about, the script of how a business operates,
yeah,
you know, or like notes on a page of sheet music.
Yeah.
It's not just the notes that matter. It's the white space in between.
Yeah.
And, you know, your comment, I love that Nike story stuck with you. What I was so impressed with was when they took people that were, had a pretty good social EQ and were inherently curious.
Yeah.
And were collaborative.
Yeah.
And they started to move them around. They started drawing connection across all the white space between these functional teams, between geographies. And they call them product engines. But for any business, we have all these different service lines.
Yeah.
Somebody can spend an entire career in just one piece of the business. Yeah. And it means that the depth of their relationships is shallow and they don't have context outside of their area. Yeah. And so from a cultural, you know, health, I found that to be extraordinarily powerful.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, it's not just empathy you have because you're familiar with what your counterparts are doing.
Yeah.
But you also know who to call
yeah.
to ask for that tri-level of insight.
Yeah.
So that's super powerful. Last week, you touched on something, and I want to go back to it because I don't remember the specifics, but there were a handful of things that if I wanted to hire or cultivate triers in my business, what are some of those characteristics of how I might identify somebody that's prepared to try, that's going to take the time to really unpack and invest in building something that's more longstanding versus just throwing up some quarterly results because they expect to be shopping for a new job in 2 to 3 years?
I mean, I would consider myself a trier, which,
yeah.
And I, if I go back to my career, my biggest successes have always been like just being curious and just being like, well, why does it work that way? And specifically in handoffs, like I've been ridiculously lucky in just figuring out why does department A do this thing and department B do something else, or system A do something and system B do something. And you're like, there seems to be something amiss here, or I just expect more. When I used to work at bodybuilding.com. These are audio, so you guys won't know this, but I am totally jacked. Just kidding. I'm not jacked.
Okay.
I was in operations. That was the only non-jacked department at bodybuilding.
Anyway,
you got your marketing guy.
You didn't get the supplements that everybody else got.
The marketing guys, you're like, oh, they're pretty over there. And all the operations are like, we've had too many beers or something. I don't know. Anyway. But when I was there, we were shipping stuff from different warehouses, and we would ship stuff from the wrong warehouse a lot.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't. And then when we went and looked to what was shipping, it was always like our most popular product. It was Optimum Chocolate Whey. And it was just baffling people. They just could not figure it out. And I'm like, well, why does it ship from the wrong warehouse? It's like, well, we were missing that product, whatever the product was. In the warehouse that it was supposed to ship from, right?
So it might be ordered in LA.
Correct.
And it's being sourced there, but shipped out of New York or something like that.
Like specifically, you order it in Oregon. It comes from Pennsylvania because it didn't have some sort of ketone something or other. And so I'm over here in the corner raising my hand saying, hey, you know what would be awesome? I'll tell you what would be awesome. Just tell me the item that you expected to be in, you know, the West Coast DC.
Yeah.
But was in Pennsylvania. And I created this report and everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And you're like that was a try, but it was caused by me being curious and saying, just because it doesn't exist doesn't mean I can't ask for it. And you know, it took me a while to explain what I was trying to do, but once they got it, it just became so obvious. Like it was just like, that's the funny thing about tries is when the try works, and not all of them are going to work, but when the try works, it's so obvious what work's been done.
Yeah. Well, it's like a baseball player with a 400 average. Like, how much is that guy worth?
Oh yeah, out of control.
Right? No, and that's only 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
And yet we don't have baseball cards for our staff.
Yeah.
We don't know what to count or to track that's meaningful.
I think the other thing is triers have to be system thinkers, or they will just make their little silo efficient and not care about the system.
Yeah.
And, you know, I also think being able to go into different groups, I don't know why companies don't collect these little internal consulting teams, because my guess is there's a portion of your company, whatever size your company is, let's just say it's 2%.
Okay. Right?
So you got 2% of your company that for some random reason, their superpower is trying and figuring out little nuanced things that like gets them all sorts of credit but no one else saw it. Like if you had a little team, you got a 200 person company, you got a little team of four that basically just goes and sits stuff, learns stuff, and then just goes and makes recommendations and has some pull within the org, it would be pretty incredible what could happen. Because the thing is like these changes aren't big oftentimes. They're really small. That's the thing that blows my mind. Is sometimes these tries are like, you know, I think there's a story of this company they call in the consult. I don't even know if this is a true story, but it's a good analogy. But yeah, they spent millions of dollars because for some reason these boxes were coming through and they weren't being filled. Right. Yeah. There were boxes coming through and they would box them up and ship them out, but they had no product in them. So they spent millions of dollars fixing the line, and the line was better and it did a lot better job. And then one day they just found out that these boxes were just not like ever making it to the $1 million checkpoint. And so the story goes, and again, this could be fake, but the story goes, someone who was working just went and got a fan because he was tired of the $1 million machine because it made all this noise and was a pain. He just put the box fan up. It blew the boxes. And if the box didn't have product, it just blew the box off the line. Problem solved. Right. So like, but I think.
I love that story though. Problem solved.
Yeah. So you got some guy with a $19 box fan that's on discount at Walmart just solving the problem.
It's a lot like the story of the U.S. spending literally millions of dollars creating a pen that would write upside down in space, and the Soviets just use a pencil.
Yeah,
you know, I think often that desire to over-engineer because we're not close enough to it, or we don't take a step back.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of triers will adjust their perspective. You know, to your point about curiosity.
Yeah,
I'll ask somebody that may not be working in the process, but they're dependent on it, or they're an input. Well, and gathering those perspectives gives you a much more complete view of what's going on.
I think the triers also have tried more. Like I know that sounds so dumb, but like they've just tried more, and so they've failed more. So they have a better predictability of what will work.
Yeah. Chris, I'll tell you, you know, I've spent the last 20 years predominantly as a consultant
working with a
variety of organizations. Yeah. It's an admission, but I'll tell you if there's a singular secret to my success, it's discovering who those connected triers are. Because the challenge is that oftentimes a trier is asking questions that executives can't answer.
Yep.
Where they're pointing at things that are good enough.
Yeah.
They might be fragile, but it's not a priority.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a consultant, you're usually brought in by somebody with authority and budget.
Sure.
So it's a director or an executive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what they're asking is, I happen to perceive a problem.
Yep.
And you, consultant, I'm not a McKinsey guy, right?
Yep.
Well, they're not asking me for an army of analysis. What they're asking for is, bring me some recommendations and help me understand how we execute
it. Yeah.
And so my very simple motion, and to your point, every organization should have 2% of their workforce doing this.
Yeah.
It's working on the business, not in the business.
Yeah.
2%, right? And all you have to do is, you don't have to have deep knowledge of every process. You just have to understand through interview, talk to me about your process.
Yeah.
The triers talk about it differently.
They also don't expect, they don't accept the status quo.
No. There's always one more thing, isn't there?
Well, there's always like, can we go and get this data piece or do we have to do that? Like, and so they're always kind of experimenting on what will versus what won't work.
Yeah. That tinkerer as a descriptor of what you just
said, right?
And they need optimizing. They want to play with things a little bit.
I think the triers are also when, you know, you hear Elon talk about Doge and he's like, I'm going to go save all these monies. The triers are like, dude, you can save your money in Medicare or the military. Those are your two options.
Yeah.
They just stop there. They're like, look, I understand math, statistics, like the money, the piles of money are hanging out in the buckets that you aren't playing with. You're playing in the wrong sand, you know, at the wrong beach, my friend.
That's right. Well, it's kind of like in modern day organizations, we spend an exorbitant amount on salaries and on software.
Yeah.
You know, if we look at the actual dollars spent on people, process, and technology, process is not where money is spent unless there's software strapped to it or heavy pieces of equipment really
expensive. For sure.
So the white space falls apart.
For sure. And, you know, what's interesting, like what I've thought about a lot is like, if you can take process and you can tie it to the strategy, right?
Yeah.
Meaning like if the process can align with the strategy versus like, I think oftentimes business is about connecting to the community, right? Mm. And so there ends up being more politics than normal, but we are over again, my friend. It is try versus buy.
We had more to say on this.
We did.
Awesome session.
All right, man. Well, I guess we just keep trying.
We'll just keep trying.
There you go.
We're only trying to bat a .400, brother.
There you go. All right, man. Talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.